The following podcast is brought to you by the new AT&T.
Claire's dreams take flight, Kate refuses to be fenced out, and Jack plays catch. We'll have commentary from executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse on all that and more in today's official Lost podcast hosted by ABC.com. Welcome to the podcast for the episode The Man from Tallahassee. I'm your host, Chris, and in today's podcast, executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse join us to talk about last week's episode, Par Avion, which includes the much-expected revelation that Claire and Jack are, in fact, related. They'll also have insights on some of our previous episodes, including Inter-7-7. First up, though, we have a sit-down interview with the actress who plays the long-lost member of the Shepherd clan, Emily DeRaven. The Man from Tallahassee airs Wednesday, March 21st from 10 to 11 p.m. only on ABC.
Desmond told me everything. About all his visions. That he knew you were going to get hit by lightning. You were gonna drown trying to rescue me in the ocean. How you died trying to get me this bird.
Don't believe all that, do you?
It was a really emotionally taxing episode, actually. What she's going through required a lot of, you know, pulling from emotion on my behalf and, you know, sort of being. Her character being mentally in just a not a good, stable place. So long days of that, sort of, you're like, I can breathe
music?
Now.
Did you have any music or magazines or anything that you used, you know, between takes to kind of take your mind off the intensity?
Yeah, no, I use my iPod a lot for that, you know, music for different things. When you're really, especially when you're, you know, working like 3 a.m. till 6 at night, You need something there, and it's you doing all these scenes. You're in every scene, and you're the focus of these things, as opposed to being, you know, big group scenes where you'll interject here and there with a line. When you're really getting down to focusing about serious emotional material, that does help me and keep you focused sort of throughout the day.
But you didn't come here to help me. You came here to try and fix a mistake that you made.
No, honey, that's not true.
You think that just paying her bills makes you noble or something? You come down here, and you try and get me to kill her? You know, just go. Why don't you just go? Go back to your real family.
It's entree to so many situations and so much more to deal with, present day and, you know, in flashback life or life before the crash. So, yeah, really interesting.
The big question now is, will Claire and Jack ever discover they're related? After all, the characters have gone a lot longer than 60-plus days without the subject ever coming up.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure that they're going to somehow bring that up, whether it's a freak happening that it's spoken about, or his name's brought up, or there's a photograph, or there's something found out. I think that has to happen somehow, and I think that'll be very interesting to work with and for him to find out and for Matthew to deal with as, maybe, you know, realizing he has another family member that you didn't know about, and same thing for me, and also whether that's dealt with too in future flashbacks for either one of us, that if we really did neither know, or, you know, if either one of us did know prior to and is hiding it, or if it really is still unknown to both of us. So, who knows? Maybe we'll never find out.
Of course, the only people who know if Claire and Jack will ever attend a family reunion together are executive producers Damon Lindelof and Carlton Cuse, whom we now turn it over to.
Well, hello, Damon.
Hi there, Carlton.
It's been a
gosh darn long while since we've had a podcast, hasn't it?
Were you going to say a dirty word there before you said gosh darn?
I was.
It's been too long.
It's been way too long.
Carlton, where have you been? Why have you... The fans want you your podcast. Why have you withheld them from the fans?
Well, I don't know, really. I have no good reason.
Have you been busy doing anything?
Maybe writing the show, producing the show. How about you?
I've been doing both things, but, you know, there's always time for a podcast, like right now.
Good. Well, let's get to it.
I can't wait.
We
apologize.
We do apologize, but we have been extremely busy. This is like the worst time of the year because we're trying to sort of write the last four episodes of the show, and we have to kind of get everything sort of organized on a macro level in order to make sure all the parts of our finale fall correctly, and it's a lot more difficult on a story narrative level. Plus, the airing of an episode every week is keeping us really busy with post, and so something has had to give, and unfortunately it's been our podcast, and we apologize.
Post is post-production, is that correct, Carlton?
That would be like editing, sound, music, that kind of
stuff. You mean we don't just write the scripts and then move on, we're done?
And go sit by the pool?
No. Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's a lot to doing the job. So let's, that's true. Where have you been? Where can viewers expect to hear from us for future podcasts?
Carlton is now reading off of the sheet that I was so deftly presenting as natural conversation.
It was so natural that when I actually read it on the sheet, I was
wow, this is actually what they told us to talk about.
Have you ever thought about being an actor, Damon?
I have not thought about it.
And, but weren't you in a musical in high school?
I was in a musical, or two, or three. I played the Artful Dodger in Oliver, and I was in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. But
weren't you in Man of La Mancha?
I was not in Man of La Mancha.
Really? No. Then why is it that you're always singing in a
Spanish
accent?
The Impossible Dream? Because I'm having impossible dreams, I suspect. And if you're going to sing, do it in a Spanish accent.
That's fantastic.
Are
you going to be on American Idol?
I'm too old, apparently. The cutoff is 28. So
is that really true?
It is true.
Wow.
So my dream is crushed. But if Sanjaya can do it, I guess anyone can.
That's fantastic.
That's what I always say. I didn't know what it meant when I was saying it before, but now it suddenly has context.
So, you know, all these grumblings from fans and the press about the show and too many
others. Enough with the grumblings.
Should viewers, what do you think now? Think that people should be happy now?
I don't know. I mean, the reality is we've balanced out the show a little more. I think, you know, the others are still in the show, certainly, but we're not hanging out in cages all day. We're getting around on the island, and we're doing some beach stories. You got a little bit of Hurley, a little bit of Claire action, some old-school Saeed, but that wasn't a beach story. I mean, that was a very others-driven story in our 7-7.
Yeah, well, speaking about the Claire story, talk about, you know, the fact that Claire and Jack...
you're doing a terrible job of reading
isn't
off
it,
your worksheet.
Isn't it amazing?
I gave you a very natural segue when I said Enter 7-7. And then you said, speaking of the Claire story, some people would go, hey, that's a good way to get into Enter 7-7.
Well, I wanted to talk about
Par Avion
first.
Please.
Par Avion,
which is airmail in French. Which is very
really?
Yeah, apparently.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Well, it actually means by plane, but...
Yeah,
I don't want to be caught in the French semantics of it all.
So, Claire and Jack have the same dad.
That is true.
Wow.
Christian Shepherd.
What happens if they, like, have sex on the island?
Who, Claire and Jack?
Yeah.
I think they'd probably be struck by lightning.
Cool.
It's got to be immoral, at the very least. And Charlie would probably be really angry.
Yeah, he would.
And Kate would probably be really angry. Oh, and America would also be really angry.
Yes.
And then they get struck by lightning. Sounds like a good thing to happen right before the zombie season.
Yeah, so, all right, that's all I had to say about Par Avion. Let's go on to Enter 7-7.
Yeah, because we wrote that one.
Yeah, we liked that one. There was a lot of good stuff in there.
And we like it because there's gunplay.
And some answers, actually. I mean, you should actually believe everything that Mikhail says, other than the fact that he says that he was a member of the Dharma Initiative, correct?
Yeah, well, he's pretending to be a member of the Dharma Initiative, but everything that he says about the others is, while he's pretending to be a member of the Dharma Initiative, is true. So, or at least he believes it to be. It's all perspective, I guess.
Right, but he is not intentionally misleading them when he is downloading all the information that he downloads to them about the interrelationship between the Dharma Initiative and the others.
And we learned what the Dharma Initiative called the others, which is not the others. They called them...
the hostiles.
That's right, which is something we heard Kelvin say in the finale last year, in fact.
That's right. And will there be more about the hostiles coming up?
The hostiles, a.k.a. the others?
Yes.
Yes, I think there might be. And Carlton, will there be more about the Dharma Initiative?
A lot more.
This is not the definitive closing text on the Dharma Initiative, is it?
No, not even close, I would dare say.
This purge that Mikhail referred to, what's that all about?
Well, it appears that in some form or manner...
Is that when you like eat a lot of junk food and you feel really guilty? And like that Meredith Baxter Burney TV movie?
Kind of like that, only people get killed in this circumstance.
Oh, right.
And those people tend to be members of the Dharma Initiative.
Wow, so there was a purge.
There was a purge, and the others wiped out the Dharma Initiative, I think we were led to believe.
But Mikhail seems to indicate that it was a defensive measure, that it was kill or be killed.
Yeah, so do you think we'll be learning more about what the specifics of that
are? I'm confused.
Yeah, it's not really enough yet about the purge.
It's not definitive. No. I think we've heard one man's recollection of it. I would like to hear a couple other points of view.
Yeah. Well, good. I think we should do that.
History is written by the winners. That's what they say, Carlton.
That is definitely true.
Which is why we won't be writing any history anytime soon, because we're losers.
So, talk about that ending of the episode with Jack playing football with Mr. Friendly. Has Jack joined the others?
Well, I don't know. You're not gonna catch a football by someone that you don't like, are you?
Is that why you never throw a football to me?
That is why I've never thrown a football to you. Yes, I never really thought about it that way, but.
That's good.
When I first joined you, though, we used to throw the football around all the time, so...
We actually do throw the football in the writer's room a little bit.
We do. Except for the one time that one of the writers, Eddie Kitsis, threw the football at you and said, "Scramble!" And the football hit your tee.
He said, "I'm a scrambler."
He says, "I'm a scrambler."
Like Fran Tarkington threw the football, hit my cup of tea, which exploded all over me, which was not good.
So Eddie doesn't get to throw the football anymore.
No, he does not.
And Eddie... has not joined the others over in New Otherton.
That's right.
Which is what we affectionately refer to as the place where Kate and Saeed and Locke are currently crouched down in the woods watching. They're probably just going to turn around and leave now, though, right? I mean, why?
Not
would they?
A chance, Damon. Actually,
but what are you going to do? Jack seems to really be enjoying himself. I mean,
well, I think they got to find out what happened to him. I mean, if you've come all the way out there and he's throwing the football with Mr. Friendly. I personally want to know what the heck's going on.
And what, are we going to have to wait like 6 weeks for that to happen?
No.
We're going to find out on Wednesday night?
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome?
What's the name of that episode?
That episode is called The Man from Tallahassee.
The Man from Tallahassee.
Yes.
Lost Love Affair with Tallahassee continues. We're going to get shot by somebody from Tallahassee one of these days.
Now, I think when the series is all said and done, they're probably going to... erect a statue of John Locke in Tallahassee.
So this is a Locke flashback episode?
It is.
And so he's the man from Tallahassee?
No.
Oh, interesting. All right, yeah. Well, I'll tune in for that.
Yeah. All right, shall we... should we talk about the ping pong game from the previous episode? What inspired the ping pong game?
Well, we have a ping pong table outside the writer's room. So occasionally, after working for several hours into the wee hours of the morning... we will go out there and blow off some steam playing ping pong. And occasionally what will happen is we figure out these great pieces of mythology in our show, but the harder stories to kind of break are the smaller stories, and we will bang our heads against the wall going, God, what can they be doing this week that's sort of amusing and diverting that isn't intense, like shooting Ms. Clue?
And so then a really, really brilliant idea strikes us, like, hey, what if they're playing ping pong?
Yeah, what if Jin finds a ping pong table?
Yeah.
Because there was one in the hatch. So it makes sense that of all the things that didn't survive the hatch explosion, that the ping pong table would.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, we not only had one story, but several stories. There's another ping pong story to come, I think.
There is. And really, by season six, pretty much half the season will just be a giant ping pong tournament, I think.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. And then the zombies can play ping pong as well in season seven.
Do you think you're better as a ping pong player if you're your own self or you are your zombie self?
In the zombies that I have had personal experience with, their motor skills and eye-hand coordination are not quite up to par with the living.
but they're more focused. They don't have a lot of mental distraction.
They're focused on eating people, though, not playing ping pong.
But, like, let's say you just ate a person. Uh-huh. Would you then be a pretty good ping pong player?
I guess, if you had just eaten.
Yeah.
But if you were only if you were playing against another zombie. Because if you were playing against a human, you'd probably be distracted by wanting to bite their head or something like that instead of play ping pong.
These are good stories for year seven.
I'm writing them down. Hey, it's time for questions.
Chris, play that question music. Play that funky question music.
And by Chris, we mean the person who is not Chris, because Chris has abandoned us today.
Chris is like probably in Vegas right now.
Everybody
gives us
guff for not doing podcasts, but Chris shows up
when we decide, hey, we'll do a podcast. Chris is like,
oh, I'd rather do something else and take a day off because I'm Chris and I'm important. All right. Carlton, may I begin?
Yes, please.
Why Was Locke Hiding It From? By Alpha Omega 1964. 519 posts in the last 90 days. Do the math. I think
you need some help.
I think that's about 5 posts a day, somewhere in that neighborhood. Here's the question.
Wow.
Why is Locke being an a-hole to his friends, hiding the C4 and not discussing things with Kate and Saeed? What is his problem lately?
I think that it's kind of apparent that John Locke is following the beat of a different drummer, I would say. And that different drummer may be his own self.
Wow.
And
so you think there's a method to all these crazy things that he's doing?
I do think there is. I think that Locke has kind of decided that it's time to think about John Locke.
I'm a little bummed that he killed McHale, though, because I kind of like McHale. That's me editorializing.
I don't know. I don't know if you can say definitively that he killed McHale.
Really?
I mean,
watch. He killed McHale. I just said it.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure I agree. That's all I'm saying. All
right. Well, we agree to disagree.
Okay. Can I ask you a question, Damon?
You may.
By Jubilant Song, only 3 posts in the last 90 days.
Why bother?
This is like cutting right to the chase.
Uh-huh.
Are they really on an island?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Anything else?
No, that's it? That's it.
I like it.
It's very, I just felt it was very direct. So let me go on, since that was so short.
That was a good one.
You know, Danny and B, that's the question, posted by Mistonyed, I don't know
how you pronounce that.
Mistonyd, 3 posts. Loved both of them as others, Danny and B.
Danny and B, okay.
I loved Pickett's character and thought he was used well, and we got to find out more about him. Did, however, feel a bit shafted that you brought Miss Clue back in Enter 7-7 only to kill her off. Will we learn more about these two through flashbacks later in the season?
Well, you never know when someone... The beauty of Lost is when someone dies, they're dead, but that doesn't mean that they won't show up in our memory. And Miss Clue is certainly a very interesting character, as is Pickett, who had a relationship with Colleen, who also died. So, you know, what's very interesting is there's a whole nother show going on that nobody's watching, which is...
Dead Lost.
Which is that the others are getting picked off. All the people who are really dying at a very rapid rate as a result of our people being on the island. So
it's almost sad, aren't there?
Yeah, but that's what happens when you hide in a rack full of Dharma jumpsuits and you jump out and you attack Kate.
Yeah,
you know?
That's not good.
What's going to happen to you?
I would have picked a better hiding place, personally.
Where would you have hid?
The furnace?
Hidden?
Maybe in the furnace.
I'm going to go ahead and say the furnace is probably not the best place to hide. That's just me. Maybe no one...
Because you would never have looked in there. That's the problem.
Well, that's because I don't want to burst into flames. But you know what? That is a good place.
Okay.
You use counterintuitive, you know, thinking there.
All right. You're up.
This is from THMSCD6, 9 posts in the last 90 days. That's a more balanced once every 10 days.
That's kind of healthy.
Damon and Carlton, could the sonic fence surrounding the barracks really be all that effective? I mean, I think it's possible to kill someone with sound waves.
Ha! This person is promoting my theory.
But to
that McHale might not actually be dead. I'm sorry, I was interrupting.
Just listen.
I'm sorry.
I think it's possible to kill someone with sound waves, but to have it localized enough to not kill bystanders would seem to have one major flaw. Why couldn't someone just run through it without stopping? It seemed to take several seconds to kill Patchy, so if you ran through and got out of range, you'd be fine, right?
Wow. That's kind of one of those questions that you just can't answer without, like, it's like, do you always beat your wife? I mean, no, it's not.
Is the answer to that question?
The answer is no.
Do you?
You only beat her sometimes.
Here's how I would look at the issue of the sonic fence, wife beatings aside, is that I wouldn't be doing experiments to find out how it worked or how it didn't work. Like, if you ran through it really fast,
if you ran through, like, a flaming building, would you, like, catch on fire? I mean, it's kind of not a good idea just to start, just as a basic tenet. And I think, actually, you know, who's to say the sonic fence was turned up full volume when it hit Mikhail? Maybe if the sonic fence was even at a more intense level, it would have fried Mikhail right when he went through. That's why I don't think he's dead, because had the sonic fence been turned on to full, Mikhail gone through there, he would have been instantly pulverized by those sound waves.
All right, well, if he's not dead, I'm going to stay tuned, because I already mentioned I like that guy.
Excellent. So what will Locke do next, Damon, by Booga Picka, who's posted 32 times in the last 90 days?
Don't you mean Booga Picka?
Booga Picka,
as
yeah.
in one who picks boogas?
As in someone driving on the freeway in the car next to you.
Right.
Wow, John sure has been on a roll lately. First he inadvertently imploded the hatch.
Wait. Okay, sorry, go on.
And now he has blown up the latest Dharma outpost discovered by the Losties.
Right.
He is great at finding things, but don't let him touch anything once he finds it. What's next? Will he find a secret tunnel off the island and blow that up too?
Wow. That's very prescient. You're, well, Pickabooga, you might not want to watch the episode this Wednesday night. You should just skip right ahead to the Nikki and Paolo episode the following week.
Yeah, you might get upset.
The good news is you will actually learn why Locke is on what I like to call the grand explosion tour of Aught 4. Yes, he did not mean to implode the original hatch. He actually believed that the button didn't need to get pushed. But there might be an argument to be made for the fact that when he entered 7-7, especially since we've now seen that he took some C4 for himself, that he wanted to destroy the flame. And I'd be very curious as to why. What could his explanation possibly be?
I think it kind of goes back to what's going through Locke's mind. And in fact, you know, it's interesting because this next question is a follow-up to the other question, which is by Joe Sculptor, who's posted 417 times in the last 90 days. And
wow.
He's like, so what's up with Locke? I mean, last night has to be the strangest I've ever seen him with his computer obsession. Even standing guard over a captured prisoner, the computer kept calling out to him, and he had to answer. I mean, and how dumb was it to respond to the question, if there's an incursion by the hostiles, enter 7-7? I mean, what else can it be but an alarm? Locke tells Patchy, now I know why you didn't want me to beat it, and then kaboom! Did Locke blow it up on purpose?
That's an interesting question.
That's a mystery. Has intent.
Yeah, that's a mystery you will get the answer to as to whether or not. I think it'd be kind of lame if it was an accident.
Yeah, if he was really just kind of that dumb.
Yeah, he's not that dumb.
He's not that dumb.
We have to remember, you know, back in season one, remember when Saeed got knocked over the head and somebody smashed the transceiver into bits? You remember that?
Yeah, I do.
Remember who did that?
I do.
Who?
That was Locke.
That's right. It was Locke.
That's true.
So, at least he's consistent.
Exactly. I'm just going to keep asking you questions until you stop me. By Brandy Harden, 5 posts in the last 90 days. There's a rumor that there's a Nikki and Paolo flashback episode coming soon. Is that true? I've also heard that Boone and Shannon will be that episode. Is that true? Will we figure out who the gay character is in this episode? Thanks. Brady.
Gay character? Did we say there was a gay character?
I think somewhere in an interview we said at one point there might be a gay character.
The gay character might appear in the Nikki and Paolo episode.
Yeah.
So I guess we're confirming there is going to be a Nikki and Paolo episode.
I wouldn't say that you should hold your breath, like, looking for the gay character. It's not like the gay character comes out and says, hey, I'm gay.
Why would you waste your time looking for the gay character when you've got Nikki and Paolo and Boone and Shannon to look at?
Yeah, that's far better. And yes, Boone and Shannon.
Just a little tease about the Nikki and Paolo episode. You go ahead and raise your eyebrows and be cynical, but you're gonna like it. If you're listening to this podcast, you're gonna like the Nikki and Paolo episode a lot. I'm gonna go out on a limb and say.
Yeah.
And if you don't, Carlton's address is no. I'm joking. Okay. I also have a question by Brady Harden, who asked that last question, I guess.
Oh yeah. Go Brady Harden.
There are several references to a mystery man by the name of him. Pronouns obviously keep things mysterious. have we seen this him before? Can we ever expect him to show up in a flashback of any of our Islanders? What questions about him do you want us to be asking?
Well, I think we've also said this mysterious... We've also heard about somebody named Jacob. I think that it would be fair to say that the him that Brady Harden is referring to would be Jacob.
So when Ben says, back when he was Henry Gale, in the Hatch last year, oh, I'm not the leader of the others. The guy who is the leader of the others, he's a magnificent man and a vengeful man or whatever the hell it is he says. He's talking about Jacob?
Well, you know, assuming that he was being honest.
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So, personally, do you think there is a Jacob?
I do. I believe in Jacob.
Cool.
He's, well, they refer to him, and Pickett said he's not even on Jacob's list, and I don't know. We've heard his name enough times to... I would think there is. I don't know who he is.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I don't know if he's someone we've already seen or anything.
Well, I think it would be irresponsible for us not to revisit Jacob this season, wouldn't it?
It would, but we are irresponsible. That's why we're not wearing any pants right now.
It's impossible to get through an entire podcast without doing the pants joke, isn't it?
No, it's not a joke. That's the thing. We're not wearing any pants right
now.
That's
why there's no more video podcasts.
Exactly. We violate FCC rules and also certain laws in California.
I'm going to ask you one more question. Swan Station by Down With Big Brother, 27 posts in the last 90 days.
That's very negative against Big Brother.
Do the others or hostiles know about the Swan Station and about the number pushing, or does it not matter to them if it imploded? I think this is a fair question to answer.
It's a very fair question. I don't think they did know.
Yeah.
I don't think they knew about the existence of the Swan Station. For one, Kelvin is down there continuing to push the button even before Desmond comes for all that time, well after we know that this purge allegedly occurred, and the others have completely left him alone. So if they do know about it...
It might make some certain amount of sense, too, that if there was an incident in the Swan Station and there was this electromagnetic anomaly and the sort of Chernobyl kind of circumstance there, the Dharma guys wouldn't probably want a lot of other people to know about it. I mean, there would be a definite need-to-know basis because of that kind of circumstance, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. And we know that in the Pearl Station, they monitor the Swan Station, so it's possible that the others found out about the Swan Station once the Oceanic survivors showed up, once Locke found the hatch.
Right.
It's possible that they were able to check it out, but I don't know. Might we be finding out about that in the next couple of weeks, Carlton?
We might learn a little bit more about that.
Interesting.
Absolutely. And it also seems kind of...
In the Nikki and Paolo flashback episode, perhaps?
So are you saying that the Nikki and Paolo flashback episode isn't all frivolity?
That there might actually be some intense mythological answers buried deep within the frivolity? Yes.
Or maybe one intense mythological answer buried within the frivolity.
Yes, the aforementioned issue.
Let's say one. So I think that's... That's a good question, but I think their knowledge of the Swan was pretty limited. And wow. I think when Ben came over there and saw that these people are pushing a button every 108 minutes, I think his skepticism was genuine.
I agree.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty good. That's a pretty good, you know, I know it's a little rusty. It's been a while, but I'm glad to be back in the swing of things.
That's what this WD-40 is for, when you're rusty.
So thanks for listening. Especially if you've made it this far. Really, thank you a lot.
Yes. What are you doing with your life? Go outside. Plant a tree. Please.
And we will be back to talk to you about Nikki and Paolo sometime very soon.
Yes. What's the title of that episode?
Why don't you tell them what the title is?
It's Exposé.
Oh. Exposé. That's an interesting title.
I think it's the first title that actually has an accent over one of the vowels.
That's true.
We are very judicious about using accents over vowels.
There are a lot of rules about using accents on the show.
I think in this case, we've pulled it off.
Yeah, I'm very curious to know why it's called Exposé.
You'll find out. You'll find out almost instantly, in fact, I would argue, in the teaser of the show.
Wow, that is so cool.
Alrighty.
Anyway, well, I personally love Nikki and Paolo, so I'm looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to talking to you about that more next time when we have our next podcast. So, for now, as Carlton's saying goodbye, Damon, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Carlton. I really enjoyed our time together. You didn't even read that. See ya.
That's it for this podcast. Join us again next week for more Inside Scoop on Lost, including an exclusive interview with the actress Elizabeth Mitchell. The Man from Tallahassee airs Wednesday, March 21st from 10 to 11 p.m. on ABC and is available the next day at abc.com.
This is for Mac McKinney. Mac, your chance has passed to play professional ball, but you can live vicariously through Vince Young's rookie year. You've obviously seen how he plays. Now see how he lives with AT&T Home Turf. Just go online to attblueroom.com/sports for exclusive access into your favorite athletes' worlds. See inside Vince's home and check out the AT&T technology that keeps him connected. So that's Mac's world. For everyone who's not Mac, if we can deliver his favorite quarterback to him, we've got what it takes to deliver your favorite athletes to you. The new AT&T. Your world, delivered.